On today's show, we've got a very special guest, baseball legend, the Hit King himself, Charlie Hustle, Mr. Pete Rose. We'll talk with him about the toughest and easiest pitchers he's ever faced, what he thinks might make today's game more interesting to potential baseball fans, and we'll get some tips on what to look for when you're betting MLB action this week. Our interview with Pete Rose is up next on the only gambling podcast that makes you money.
How do you say that?
How do you know that?
Five simple words,
that's impossible,
Mr. Michaels,
to know.
Back up the Brinks truck.
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
West Coast. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookson, and we are the West Coast Gamblers, the only gambling show that makes you money, and a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network. And in just a few moments, folks, we have one of the biggest interviews this show has ever had, Mr. Pete Rose himself. Charlie Hustle, boys, are you guys excited?
My hands are so numb holding this mic, it's like I just got a fastball on the thumbs, Tony. I cannot wait.
How often do you get the opportunity to talk to the man who literally leads the world in hits? No one has gotten more hits in the history of the game of baseball, old as it is, than the man we are going to be talking to on this show. And no one's ever going to touch that record either.
No.
That number is forever cemented, 4256 all-time hits for Pete Rose in the baseball record books. No one's touching that, folks.
In college, boys, we had a base running drill where we had to run from first to third. Guess what it was called? Charlie Hustle.
I can't wait. Let's jump right to it. The man's ready to enter the world. After this break, here he comes, Pete Rose.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Ready to up your game and learn more about the thrilling world of sports betting? Introducing Double Down with Breslow, the ultimate podcast about the business of sports gambling. Join me, James Breslow, and a long list of expert guests as we dive into the art and science of the sports betting industry, evolving regulations, technology enhancements, and the meteoric rise in the number of players makes this sector the fastest growing and most intriguing in the world. Unlock the business secrets from many of the industry's most recognizable C-suite executives, including famous odds makers and influencers. Every episode of Double Down with Breslow is packed with insider tips, deeply skilled analysis, and in-depth discussions. Don't miss out on the ultimate resource for mastering the business of sports betting. Listen to Double Down with Breslow on the Evergreen Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts. That's Double Down with Breslow, the business of sports betting podcast.
Our guest today on the West Coast Gamblers is more commonly known as the Hit King. He is a man the Sporting News voted Player of the Decade for the 1970s. In 1963, he was the NL Rookie of the Year. He won the batting title in 68 and in 69. In 1973, he was the MVP of the National League. And in 75 and 76, he and the Cincinnati Reds won the big one, the World Series. In fact, in 1980, he went to Philadelphia and won the World Series again for the first time in the Philadelphia Phillies franchise history. He has a lifetime batting average of .303, and anecdotally, when he was playing, he had the best sideburns this side of the Mississippi. And he is currently the reigning, defending, undisputed batting champion of the heavyweight world, having the most hits in the history of the MLB. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Charlie Hustle himself, Pete Rose. Welcome to the show, Mr. Rose.
Well, I appreciate being on the show. And when we won the World Series in Philadelphia, they waited 86 years to win it.
Yeah.
So needless to say, the people were kind of excited in 1980.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And, you know, I had the pleasure, guys, of playing with so many great players. Actually, I played with 11 Hall of Famers. I got one for you.
Wow.
I'm going to give you a lineup. This lineup is my former teammates, okay? This is true. I think I'm the only guy who can say this. Catcher bench, Schmidt third base, Larkin shortstop, yeah. Morgan second, Perez first, Frank Robinson left, Tim Raines center, Andre Dawson right, left-hand pitcher Steve Carlton, right-hand pitcher Tom Seaver. Every one of these guys are Hall of Famers.
It's actually unfair. When you actually say it out loud like that, it really is. I was actually just talking to these guys before you came on about how incredible kind of just the the timing of your career was, because you started and you know in the early 60s and you caught the tail end of some of these great pitchers from the mid 1900s, and then you know you were in your prime at the same time as some of these guys, you know, who were coming up in the same time as you, like Juan Marichal, you know, you caught Nolan Ryan, obviously. I know you hit against him. Like, there's a bunch of Steve Carlton, Tom Seaver, you mentioned all these guys. So you saw the best of, like, both generations of baseball players.
Let's say we're playing a game in Cincinnati on Sunday. Game's over, we get on a plane, we go to L.A. for three. Okay, the next 3 days we face Koufax, Drysdale, and Sutton. Then we go up to San Francisco, and we face Marichal, Gaylord Perry, and somebody else. Then we get to stop in St. Louis on the way home and face Carlton Gibson and someone else. So you play nine games, and you face seven Hall of Fame pitchers.
Pete,
that's a rough road trip, guys.
Pete, you played. Yeah, that is a rough time to be in the box. I want to know, in your 23 years of playing, give me one.
24.
I apologize. 24. Give me one lefty pitcher and one righty pitcher that you deem, no matter what point you face in your career, the best lefty and righty you ever faced in the box.
Well, statistic wise, I was 10 for 57 off of Sandy Koufax. That's 175. Okay. Right-handed, I had no problem with anybody that I could think of. Another left-hander gave me trouble. He won a Cy Young, but he's not a household name. Randy Jones from San Diego. No, he's one of them guys, because I batted right-handed. I was a switch batter. Get that. I was not a switch hitter. I was a switch batter. There is a difference. Mm-hmm. You understand. Okay. And Randy would throw that little sinker, and he'd get you out, then he'd laugh at you. Those are the guys you hate, because they knew you couldn't hit them, and they just laugh at you. And I remember one time I turned around and bat left-handed off. I only batted left-handed off of two guys. Jim Brewer took the screwball away from him. Randy Jones, I took the sinker mm-hmm. away from him. And when I turned around, he walked me on a 3-2 pitch. I was batting left-handed. It was a strike. I went like that, and he called it ball four. And that broke a scoreless innings by him, like 60-some. It ruined the streak. So now I got even with him, because he was pissed because the umpire called it the ball. So I laughed at him all the way down the first base.
He probably wasn't laughing then. Well, let me flip it on its head then. He asked you about hard pitchers to face. What pitcher was there? A pitcher whose, you know, start you circled on your calendar, like, oh, my God, I'm going to go for five off this dude today. And every time I get in there, I just know I'm going to take him.
Yeah, I got 5-for-5 off Gaylord Perry. I got 5-for-5 off of Bob Welsh. I got 5-for-5 off of Warren Spahn. Okay.
That's nuts. Those
were, you know, the two of those guys are Hall of Famers.
That's nuts. Yeah.
Actually, I got five hits 10 times in the game. So a lot of the other guys weren't all Hall of Famers. But a guy I could really hit was Don Sutton. I mean, I could hit him blindfolded. I just saw him good. I don't know what it was. But, you know, I was 17 for 32 against Warren Spahn.
So, Pete,
now I got 66 hits, 66 hits off of Phil Negro, and I got 40 some hits off of his brother Joe. If she'd have had five boys, I'd have got 5,000 hits.
So I'm trying to do the math here. So you had five hits 10 times in your career. That's 50 hits in just those 10 games. That equals the amount of hits that some of these 3-4 hole hitters are getting in today's MLB, because all they're trying to do is go over the yard or walk. Yeah. So give us your synopsis of baseball in 2021 and you know the era of the strikeout, the walk, and the home run.
Let's take yesterday's game. Let's just go back yesterday. Let's go back one day. Reds and Cubs. Reds and Cubs yesterday hit 10 home runs in the game. You ever heard of that before?
It's ridiculous.
Wow. All right. Dodgers and Milwaukee. Two guys on the Dodgers. Two guys knocked in 15 runs. How the hell is that possible?
It didn't happen when I was growing up watching baseball in the, you know, and I'm 31, well, so I grew up in the, you know, early mid 90s watching it. And so it just didn't
happen
like
that. The owners have got across to the players that if you hit 20 to 30 home runs, you're going to make 15 to 18 million. You don't care if they strike out.
Yeah.
They don't care how many times they strike out. I mean, there's 10 strikeouts in every game, combined teams. It's amazing. They either strike out or they hit a home run. They don't hit and run. They don't bunt. They don't steal bases. It's a home run game. It's just like the NBA is a three-point league. Mm-hmm. They do shoot three-pointers. Yeah. Football is a passing league. If you can't pass, you don't win in the NFL. That's how the trends have changed in sports today.
The passing league of the NFL has made that more of an exciting league, more points on the board. The 3 points in the NBA has done the same. To me, though, the home run or bust league of the MLB, to me, has made it a more a less exciting game to watch, a little bit longer in the tooth, a little bit less stuff going on in the diamond. To you yourself, a man who's watched baseball for however many years, do you think it's less exciting now than it has been, and do you like the ball going out 10 times in a game?
I don't like it at all. I mean, what about an extra inning game? Let's put a guy in on second.
That's so
what
dumb.
The hell is that all about?
It makes the baseball.
Let's play a doubleheader. Hey, let's play 2 7-inning games. Who are changing all these rules? You can't slide into second. You can't slide into a catcher. You can't pitch inside. The one rule they don't mess with, or they don't try to correct, is the length of games. Every pitch, every player steps out and readjusts his gloves. One guy adjusts his gloves 2 times a night. The other night I was watching, and the guy didn't even throw a pitch. He stepped out and readjusted. And listen to this. This is true. I hate to badmouth the game because I love the game. I watched a couple games last week. I swear to God, I'm watching. I watch 2 games every day. And 3 or 4 guys left the field didn't know how many outs there were.
That's insane.
How do you play a baseball game in the major leagues and not know how many outs there are in a game?
My father was my little league coach. He kicked me off the team if I didn't know how many outs there were.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. Same exact thing. I would have get yanked off the field if I walked off with 2 outs or something like that, and I didn't know, and I did that in front of my dad.
This Wednesday, I'm flying up to the University of Oregon to talk to the baseball team, who, by the way, they're in first place in that league.
Okay. And
I don't know. They're in first place. They might understand. But if I talk to most guys today about hitting, they would shake their head and say, what the hell is he talking about? Because I'm not going to talk about a launch angle. You know, I can tell you Hank Aaron, who I played against, we just lost Hank recently. He was a great guy, okay?
Yeah.
He hit 755 home runs and never hit a tape measure home run. He didn't.
Just hit it over the fence. That's all you got to do. All you got to do is hit it 1 foot farther than the fence is deep, right?
If the fence is 340, you got to hit 341.
That's all you got to do.
Yep.
So the announcers, he hit that 484. He hit that one 474. Did he get 2 RBIs for it? He got one.
I'll never forget hearing you speak at some point. You said literally what you would do when you were in any of your mini slumps in your career is you'd either go up in the box, back in the box, away from the plate, farther away from the plate.
Yeah.
Do you think it can break down that simple, even in today's game, that could do wonders?
See what happens today in baseball, college, minor leagues, they chart every pitch. They chart every out. So now if you're 0 for 15, believe me, you're not going to be 8 at-bats, you're early, and 8 at-bats or 7 at-bats, you're late. You're going to develop a pattern. And you look at the pattern. That's what I was telling these guys. And based on the pattern, I'm going to adjust by moving up in the box, back in the box, further from the plate, closer to the plate, a heavier bat or a lighter bat, based on what I was doing wrong. Baseball is all about adjusting, especially when you're in the batter's box. If you're swinging late, pick up a lighter bat. If you're hitting a curveball early, wait for it longer. Step back in the box. If the guy's jamming you, move back from being on top of the plate. Okay, if you can't get to the outside part of the plate, move closer to the plate. It's not rocket science. It's common sense.
Is that the involving of the analytics into the game and all these new stats and the new technology of like you seeing exactly where the ball turns and all this stuff that obviously wasn't there when you played? Do you think that has diluted the game and made it more specific and more difficult to make the correction?
Well, there's less hitters today. There's less. Yeah. There's less guys hit 300. There's more guys strike out 100 times.
Yeah.
Is that because of analytics? I don't even know what analytics mean because I can't spell it, so I can't talk about it. You explain to me what analytics is, and I'll critique it one way or the other.
Yeah.
I played with Mays. I played with Aaron. I played with Clemente. I mean, I played with Stan Musial. I played with some of the greatest players in the history of baseball, and they wouldn't know a damn thing about analytics. I can't imagine talking to Willie today about analytics.
About wins over replacement. He just saw about. He saw ball and hit ball. That was it, you know?
That's see
ball,
Williams hit ball. Said. Ted Williams gave me a clinic one day at spring training, and he had me so mixed up, I didn't know whether to wind my ass or scratch my watch. Okay, that's how mixed up I was. He hit me here, he hit me here, he hit me here, he hit me there. I said, Mr. Williams, I'm a young kid. I said, you might have been the greatest hitter ever, okay? There's argument about that. I said, but my philosophy is just what you said. See the ball and hit the ball hard somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so what I hear, what I hear you saying, because I've, you know, I've seen other interviews where you've talked about, you know, the long ball and strikeouts and how you see just less baseball in general in today's game. And kind of what I hear you saying is that, you know, players lack versatility in a way, and they can't do maybe as much as players from previous generations. So do you think a guy like, you know, Shohei Ohtani, somebody who's a two-way player, is that like when we talk about solutions and how to get people to watch the game more, do you think someone like him brings, you know, that is a way to get at that because he is versatile, because he throws and he hits?
I'll tell you what he brings to the table, okay? I mean, he can't hit a ball low and away with his count. I mean, he just can't. And what he brings to the table is more Japanese fans.
Yeah.
What he brings. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. He's on a team with Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, Rendon. Okay. Let me ask you a question. And you guys would probably say Trout's the best player in baseball.
I would say Trout's the best player in baseball. I think that's pretty safe to say.
Or my guy, Mookie Betts.
Yeah. This is a good close
Mookie
argument.
A little over 250 this year.
But Trout's having a career year.
Yeah. He'll get hot. But let me ask you something. What's the last time you saw Trout in a World Series?
Never once.
It hasn't happened. Not once.
If he's such a great leader and such a great player. Yeah. And a guy told me earlier, I did an interview, that Mike Trout don't talk to the press. He's not cordial with the press.
He's not really, he doesn't put himself out there at all.
But he's the poster boy for baseball.
Exactly.
He needs your poster boy to be very outspoken with the press. That's what it's all about, selling your game. You know, selling the team, selling your fans, selling the one you got right here. I had Reds, I had Expos, and I had Phillies. Yeah, when I played on those teams, I tried to sell those teams. I mean, Trout should be trying to sell the game of baseball.
That's why you slide head first, right? Because you get your picture.
Well, I don't know about sliding head first. He's a great player. I mean, he can hit and he can play center field. Yeah, I played the same way 24 years in the big leagues that I played when I was 8 years old playing not full baseball, little league baseball. And here's the way you play. You play one way and one way only. You play to win. That's the only reason you play baseball. You don't play for exercise. It's not like tennis.
Yeah.
You play baseball to win, okay? I'm not one of these, everybody gets a trophy. That's not my home. That don't happen in my home. I got a 5-year-old grandson playing T-ball right now. And he hates it when he misses a ball. And I got a 16-year-old kid playing high school baseball in Cincinnati, Ohio. He's also a great football player for the state champion, St. Xavier Bombers in Cincinnati, Ohio. Maybe you heard of him. But they're taught to win. They're taught to do their best, and they're taught to win. And if you lose, you come back the next day and try to do the same thing. I mean, is this so hard? I mean, because people don't understand that if you win – and you're in the car with mom and dad on the way home, everybody's in a better mood. It's just like moms and dads are in a better mood if a guy brings all A's home, whether he brings all C's and D's home. Mm-hmm. Okay. I had a hit when I was a kid because I brought all C's and D's home. So I had to hit 400. I mean, I had to get base hits. I had to win games. But I was lucky, guys, because I grew up in the 50s and 60s. And my dad was probably the best football player to come out of Cincinnati. And I was a water boy on the football team, ball boy on his basketball team, bat boy on his baseball team. I was always going to a sporting event to watch my dad. And my dad told the Little League coach, I was 9 years old. He said, I want this guy to be a switch batter, and he will never miss a practice, and he'll never miss a game. That's my truth to you. But I want him, if right-hander pitching, I want him batting left-handed and vice versa. I never remember in my life batting right-handed off a right-hand pitcher.
That's crazy.
I batted off of two left-handers left-handed, Jim Brewer and Randy Jones, because I couldn't hit him right-handed.
Yeah.
Every other left-hander I faced, I batted right-handed. Every other right-hander I faced, I batted left-handed.
Tony.
And, you know, I'm pretty consistent. I think I hit 307 left-handed and 294 right-handed. I get a kick out of these guys that are switch batters today in baseball, and they'll be 308 left-handed and 202 right-handed.
Yeah, and like we have 189 from the right side. Yeah, why do it? Why do it? Just hit lefty where you're good, where you're good from.
You're absolutely right. Plus, if you're going to do it left-handed because you're closer to first base.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Tony, I know you've been dying to compare your illustrious career as a second baseman to Mr. Rose himself, so I'm going to let you compare your accolades.
Well, no, when I was young, I did try to emulate you, sir, when I was playing. I was not even close, but I tried to emulate your batting stance, the way you played, and the only thing I could emulate, though, was the Charlie Hustle nickname, the determination, the grit factor, the ability to go and get it. And you just talked about how you went and saw your dad as a ball boy for him, as a water boy for the football team, and I feel like that was instilled in you, not just the ability to play, but the determination and the want to. And if you had to talk to a young athlete today, I think that's where you have to start, the ability to put your head out there and go for it. Am I right?
I tell people all the time, man, I'm telling you, it wasn't that hard for me to make the big leagues, but it was hard to stay there.
Yeah.
Okay? Even in a high school team. It's not that hard to make the high school team. But once you get there, you want to stay there. Okay. You got to work hard to stay there, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I had to work hard to spend 24 years in the big leagues. You know, I had ups and downs, I had slumps. I remember one time my son was playing in the minor leagues, and he called me one day and he said, "Dad, can you help me?" I said, "What's the matter, Petey?" Because I was retired. And he says, "I'm 0 for 21. Mm. I said, "What the hell are you calling me for? Call Davey Concepcion."
I've never been in a slump. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, I told him, I said I was 0 for 4 twice.
As close as I can.
21. If I was 0 for 21, and you don't believe it or not, I did go 0 for 22 one time, and I should have had 10 hits. We were playing in Wrigley Field in Dodger Stadium, and the grass was about that thick. And you hit the line drives, and you hit the grass, and they'd stop. Guys at backhand throw your ass out. But I never struck out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the game is making outs. I made almost 10,000 outs, 9,870-something.
Yep.
That's how many outs I made. Think about that. You guys got a guy on your show that made almost 10,000 outs. That's how dumb you guys are.
There are dudes that had more bats at bat or fewer at bats than you had outs, right? Like, you know.
That's insane.
I got more at bats, right? I made more outs than 90% of players get at bats.
That's a wild thing to think of. But, you know, you had hard outs. You weren't striking out. You were hitting the ball hard.
You know what? No one will ever know. But I think I hit the ball consistently harder than anybody in the history of baseball. Don't forget, I had 1,400 official at-bats, and I had 1,500 walks.
Yeah.
And I got hit 110 times. So that's 15—I almost had 16,000 at-bats, okay? I played in 3,500 games. That's another record. I heard more national anthems than anybody.
That one's probably not in Guinness, unfortunately. It should be in the Book of World Records.
Pete, this is we are the West Coast Gamblers, so I just got to ask you, how'd you do in the Derby? We're still licking our wounds.
Did you
have any good ponies?
We did not too well.
Yeah, I be honest with you, I didn't bet the Derby, but we're all stupid. How can you not bet Bob Baffert?
Thank you.
That's what Tony said.
Yeah,
12-1. Yeah, are we crazy?
Yeah, it's like betting against Brady. You just don't do it.
He's the Bill Belichick of horse racing. You got to go with him sometimes.
This guy gets all the money to buy those fillies and to buy those colts, and he knows how to get those things in shape.
Absolutely,
he's unbelievable. He's a nice guy too. I met Bob a couple of times. You guys, you know all about you pick trade, right? You guys follow.
I was gonna jump into that next. We were talking about your picks and how you're looking at stuff. Our listeners can actually follow your picks on youpicktrade.com. You're giving out your picks for daily MLB games. I wanted to get into that a little bit. Obviously, you still watch the sport and you still have inklings on who's going where.
I watch two games every day. Yeah. Sometimes three games. And you know, what do you do when you pick a baseball game? Oh, you should do this with all sports. Okay, who's hurt? Who's not hurt?
Yeah.
Who's hot? Who's not hot? Who can play on the road? Who can't? Who's a good home team? who's a bad home team? What pitcher's hot right now? Okay. Those are all things you got to put into bet baseball. And most of the time when you bet baseball, you're betting pitchers.
Yes.
Okay. And who's got a good bullpen? Who don't have a good bullpen? Because I found out the last several years that most runs in baseball, okay, you guys follow this. Most runs in baseball are scored in the sixth, seventh, and eighth innings.
Yep.
Because most teams in baseball, and there's 30 of them, have horseshit middle relief pitching.
Yep.
They do. Because what are middle relief pitchers? Guys that aren't good enough to start.
Yep.
And guys that aren't good enough to close.
Yep.
But they have to be on the staff. And you watch how many pitchers. Well, we've seen a lot the last week. Guys going nine innings.
Yep.
You know, Max Scherzer, he went nine yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, with Derek Cole, if he goes out there, you expect him to do eight or nine. But there's only a handful of pitchers. DeGrom, he's a great pitcher. Would you like to go to a town and face Scherzer, DeGrom, and Cole?
Yeah, no. Pass.
I mean, that's an 0-for-12 happening. But there's not that many of them out there.
Yeah.
Okay, think how many bad pitchers there are out there.
Yeah.
That's why all these.
And that's just one guy on the staff, too. You know, even the other four dudes who are, you know, starting the other 4 days of the week, right? So just to your point.
And baseball is going to try to tell us that they took some of the life out of the baseball. Bullshit. I mean, there's more home runs. I guarantee there's more home runs hit to date than there was in 1919 to date. We can't count last year because of the virus.
Right.
But I guarantee there's more home runs hit today. That ball is flying now. And I know the new ballparks. You ever been to Houston's ballpark?
Not yet.
Yes, actually, like, when I was very young, I went.
It's like playing in that. Hey, it's like playing in that studio you're in, mm-hmm. or Cincinnati, okay, or Philadelphia, or the new Atlanta ballpark, or Yankee Stadium in right center.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, little leaguers can hit them out of there. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are just feasting on these high fastballs. Okay, I'm going to take. How to speed up the game, because that seems to be the number one concern of most fans. How would you speed up the game? Let me get some advice here. How would you guys speed up the game?
Oh, I think you have to have a pitch clock. I know that's against a lot of the old heads in the MLB, but I would want to get these pitchers to be on a pitch clock and have to throw those, like, less stepping out of the box, less stepping off the mound. Let's go. Keep the pitches coming.
They step out every pitch to readjust their gloves. Yeah. But the way I would speed up the game, in the rule book, the strike zone's from here to here, correct?
Yep. Knees to chest, yeah, or armpits.
And most of the players wear the uniform pants down inside their shoes, okay? Start calling strikes down there. See how much you speed up the game. Umpires should call more strikes.
Mm-hmm.
The strike zone's too small.
Yeah.
I watch these games, and I see balls right down Broadway in the express lane. Umpires keep saying ball. I don't get it. I mean, I know you would create more arguments if you called more strikes, but the game be faster.
Yeah.
And there's more pitchers. The more pitchers you use, the longer the game's going to be. Mm-hmm. They got to come in from the bullpen. You know, they make a change. Like Boone the other night used three pitchers in the ninth inning.
Yeah, and you got to go to commercial each time you bring in a new freaking pitcher.
That's another thing. You got nine innings. You got 6 minutes of commercial every innings. So that's 54 minutes of commercials every night to make the game longer.
Yeah.
And when you pan in when you're watching a game, okay, you guys do this. What's two things the fans are doing at the ballpark?
They're on their phones.
On their phone.
Yep.
And what? What's the other thing?
Eating or drinking.
Eating. They're eating.
Yeah.
Do you go to the game to watch the game or you go to the game to eat? The people who complain about the price of tickets always tell me, well, the price is too expensive to go to the ball game. Well, that's because you had five beers and four hot dogs.
The ticket's okay, a third of the price.
You know who makes out the best at the ballparks? The concessionaires.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Especially on a rain delay. You can't get a beer on a rain delay.
I was curious, Pete, if you so based on what you just said, and I think this is kind of a hybrid because you're an old school guy. What if they had the K zone with an expanded zone? So and then just robot umpire. So take the human umpire out of the element behind home plate, expand the K zone with no human umpires behind the plate. Do you think that would be a remedy to try to speed up the game?
Or
are you?
No, I don't think so. Because, you know, believe it or not, I wasn't one of those guys that got kicked out of a lot of games. I liked umpires.
Yeah.
Because I think umpires are part of the game.
For sure.
And the only thing bad about umpires, They're part of the game, but they can't be part of the game. I remember when Al Barlick and Aki Donatelli, two great umpires, used to come into Cincinnati on a weekend series. I would always go to their hotel on Sunday morning and have breakfast with them because I liked them. But can you imagine doing that today? Now if Aki's behind home plate and he gives me a call, they swear that, you know, that he's bagged a game for me.
It'll be all over ESPN the next day.
Yes, yes. So they can't be part of the game, and they are a big part. I remember the night before I broke the record, Lee Wire was umpiring first base. And he said, you'll break that record tomorrow night. Lee was a pitcher's umpire. What I mean by that, his strike zone was from your calf to your nose. I mean, but everybody knew it. He called a lot of strikes. Yeah. He said, you'll be swinging tomorrow because I'm back there. And he was absolutely
right.
That's
fine. Well, that was always my thing. It's like,
if you know the guy's going to call strikes, you're swinging.
Just be consistent. Yeah. For me as a hitter, I was always just like, I don't care where. If you're going to be up, that's fine. But be up all game. Don't be up and down and left. Be like, if you're going to call him outside, call him outside all day long.
When four umpires walk out from behind home plate, there's always one with a mask. He's the home plate umpire. Now, when I saw him, okay, me as an experienced big leaguer, I knew. Was he a pitcher's umpire? Was he a hitter's umpire? Was he a low ball umpire? Was he a high ball umpire? Was he a good umpire? Was he a bad umpire?
Yeah.
And I just wanted him to be what he was that particular night. Mm-hmm. But that's all part of experience of learning the game, learning the umpires.
I do want to, before I let you go, I do want to, if you can give us any certain teams, because again, our listeners can find your picks on youpicktrade.com to get your MLB daily picks. Are there any picks for tomorrow's games? That would be Tuesday on the schedule, May 4th on your schedule. Are there any picks you have for those games or any teams that you're looking at right now that are hot that we should keep our eye on in the next coming week?
You got to like the Dodgers at the Cubs tonight. And then I like San Diego at home tonight. Tampa Bay, I like that. They got a real good pitcher pitching tonight. And the Angels played on the East Coast yesterday, and they had to fly all the way to the West Coast, which takes it out of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm not a big Angels fan. So, but I don't know anything more than you guys do. But I know who's playing good, who's not.
Yeah.
I know who's in a slump, who's not. I know what pitchers are good, what pitchers aren't.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of bad pitching. You guys understand that. You don't have all these 14 to 5 games or 15 to 8 games. I mean, you know, what are high school pitchers pitching? I don't want to hear this bullshit. The pitchers are better today than they were in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Not quite. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to. The ones I mentioned, the Derek Coles, the Max Scherzers, you know, those guys are good.
Yeah.
They'd have won in any era. They'd have won in the 20s. Yeah. They'd have won in the 60s. But they're not any better than Bob Gibson. They're not even better than Tom Seaver, Steve Carlton.
Well, these are guys who are pitching like every 3 days. You're not on a 5-day rotation at this time, too. So you got guys doing a lot more starts at that time. Do you think we ever see another 300-game winner?
No. I think it'd be hard for you to see a 3,000-hit guy, too. And I think it'd be hard for you to see a guy to get 600 home runs. Those are magic numbers that get you into the Hall of Fame. Okay? Probably because, see, guys today, they didn't play like I did because my goal every year was to hit 300, get 200 hits, and score 100 runs. Because as leadoff hitter for the Big Red Machine, if I did that, we had a chance of winning more games because we had a chance of scoring more runs, okay? And I got the most hits, the most wins, and I'm second run scored in history of baseball, okay? The guy that beat me out in the National League, did he cheat or didn't he cheat, was Barry Bonds. But he knocked himself in 760 sometimes. I only knocked myself in 160 times. But let me give you my best stat, okay?
Yes, please.
While we're talking about stats, because I don't know how many records I got. I got almost as many records as Elvis, okay? I'm behind him by a couple, okay? But my biggest record, as far as I'm concerned, you know, is I played during the season, not playoffs, not World Series, 1,972 winning games. Mm. That's 250 more than the guy second, who I believe is Carl Yastrzemski. Just imagine if you come up this year and you play 19 years and your team wins 100 games every year, you're still 72 short.
That's amazing.
You put it like that.
That's amazing.
But that is a credit. That is a credit to my teammates.
Right. And you listed them off at the start of this interview, all the Hall of Famers on that on that team for at every position. It's phenomenal. No,
all the Hall of Famers I told you weren't on that team. They were on the team at one time or another.
Well, but obviously.
I played with the greatest catcher ever, Bench, the greatest third baseman ever, Schmidt, and the greatest second baseman ever, Morgan. In my career, three of the best at their position. I'm not talking about in the 60s or 70s. I'm talking about in 120-some years of baseball.
Mr. Rose, I thank you for joining us on the West Coast Gamblers. We had a blast talking to you. Again, you can find this man's MLB picks on youpicktrade.com. And again, I cannot thank you enough for coming on the show, Mr. Rose. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Actually, Mr. Rose, my dad, you call me Pete, okay?
All right.
Anytime I can help you out, let me know.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age, because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
Well, boys, that was an interview. Mr. Pete Rose himself regaled us with tales of the past, present, and future. I'm pumped. I'm going to be following him for his picks on MLB games. I know that.
I mean, Tony, I heard you get your wallet out of your jeans as he was speaking. What a cool interview. So generous with his time.
Yeah.
Sitting there. And what a badass. The dude's talking with two paintings of himself behind him. I aspire to do that,
one
day.
I know, right?
I mean, like, unbelievable.
Like Warhol type sort of prints of him in his, you know, in his signature batting stance crouched over. It was great. Well, and it's just, again, like, I mean, I've been playing baseball since I could walk. Like, that was my dad got me a glove, and it was one of the first things. I still have my high school glove. So, you know, it's not every day you get to talk to one of the legends of the sport that you grew up loving. And to, like, in a game that's so, and we talked a little bit about it in our interview, in a game today that's so complex and so based on sabermetrics and analytics and the numbers and all these pages and reams of data, to hear him talk so simply about the game of baseball, see the ball, hit the ball, just put it where they're not, you know, and kind of hearkening back to the olden days where it really was the triple is the most exciting play in baseball and not just a litany of home runs that you're just seeing flying out of the park when you watch highlights. It was very cool just to get to talk to a living legend of the game of baseball.
Maybe guys, next time he's on the show, I can tell him how I lost my baseball glove and he can give me advice on that.
Oh, we forgot to ask him about that.
I'm sure he'd have something to say about it, Tony. I can guarantee that. He'd have a take on that.
He'd have a story to go with it. I guarantee it.
That's right. But, you know, as three guys, we're all lucky enough to have good relationships with our dads. And I don't know about you guys, but you tell your dad Pete Rose is on your podcast.
He was the first person
I texted. We're doing okay, Dad.
He was the first person I texted. Literally the first person I texted. As soon as you told me, hey, we have Pete Rose, I texted my dad. And I was like, Dad, we've got Pete Rose.
And again, very generous with his time. I was very pumped to have him on the show. And again, you can find his picks for MLB games, daily MLB picks by none other than Pete Rose on youpicktrade.com. Again, thank you, Pete, for coming on the show. And that's it for the West Coast Gamblers. A whole show, a whole week about Mr. Pete Rose. Next week, we're going to be getting into the Preakness. Uncle Milty might be back, giving us some number theories again that just might work out.
Senior horse racing correspondent, Uncle Milty.
That's right. Senior horse racing correspondent, Uncle Milty. And we'll also be diving into a sport that we have not touched on much in this podcast, but it's getting close to playoff time in the old NBA. And there's a play-in tournament, and there's a man who has not been on this show since we've redone this show, a man that we call, the reason we call our analysts the senior correspondents, our senior NBA correspondent himself is out there ready to talk about his world champion Lakers and the chances they have.
correspondent of the senior correspondents, I think, if I'm thinking about it.
We're going to be diving into the NBA, and hopefully I don't have to come in and give you a report on why Aaron Rodgers was traded in the future. But hey, that's what we're here for. We are the West Coast Gamblers. For Tony Cavallo, Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp has his finger up. Hopefully it's something better than Nico Collins this time.
I'm just letting listeners know, Schaefer the Sand Trap will be back next week. He is in Fuego. And with prompting from my co-host, Tony Squares, you can find my picks for the Wells Fargo Championship on my Twitter handle, at Drew Schaefer. I will be releasing my golf picks for this week on Wednesday. Please check them out. 6 for 9, boys and girls, in the top 20, top 30s last 3 weeks. I'm hot.
I can't wait. Tony Tires might make a reappearance soon, too, because he's still watching, baby. Tony Tires is here to stay. But that's it for the Pete Rose Show, and that's it for this week. We are the West Coast Gamblers, and as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and this is Pit Pass F1, a brand new podcast that'll take you closer to the action of the world's most prestigious motorsport. From Monaco to Miami and Australia to Azerbaijan, Pit Pass F1 is on the ground and has you covered. Esteemed F1 journalists Julianne Serasoli and Chris Medland will take you inside the sport every round. They'll keep you up to date with the latest news breaking in Formula One and the most influential views shaping the world of Grand Prix racing. Every Friday, we'll be bringing you a track guide and race preview, and Chris and Drew will be in your feed every morning from Saturday through to Monday to keep you up to date on all the day's action on and off the track. So if you want to be in the know on the latest in Formula One, subscribe wherever you get your favourite podcasts and visit us at evergreenpodcasts.com. Pit Pass F1, a brand new show for Evergreen Podcasts.